This is Why Bird Watching is Changing, a part of an archive broadcast, Nature of Things, from June 4th, 1992.
For a good many years now, my birding friend Jim Anderson and I have devoted one day in May to an attempt to capture the annual homeward movement of bird life as it surges northward toward traditional nesting grounds. Over the years, there have been many changes, some merely fluctuations, others apparently trends. In summary, it is clear that a number of species are on the wane. It's sort of like losing a friend when an oven bird or black tern seem to be disappearing from the flow. These birds that flow past our observation post have various points of departure, some from the southern United States, some from Central America and the Caribbean islands, many from the Amazon jungles, a few even from south of the Amazon. There are those who attribute much of this to changes occurring in the home range, more who point out the correlation between changes in wintering grounds and the dwindling of certain species. In fact, it is clear that these birds run a gauntlet of environmental change all along the way. It goes without saying that one small group cannot really monitor this mystic phenomenon any more than a boater with a pail could gauge the flow of the Mississippi. Still, bird watchers are legion, and their reports are copious. These trends are more than mere imagination. To understand the true dimensions of these changes, we need to employ some environmental arithmetic. There are about 6 million square miles in Central and South America. The birds that winter in those regions are drawn from over 8 million square miles of the North American continent. The funneling of these northern hordes into this southern forest is an exercise in environmental shoehorning, because these rich lands are already full of life to start with. It requires all that the habitats can provide to accommodate these avian tourists. To see how it can work, we'll indulge in some more environmental arithmetic. But first, let's switch the metaphor for a minute. Recently, my wife and I helped one of our daughters move from a house in the heart of the village to a duplex in a beautiful rural setting. The problem was that the new home was actually smaller than the former one. The saving grace was the amount of storage space available. This necessitated a bit of shoehorning, but the two girls, my daughter and her colleague, another single teacher, were willing to make those sacrifices for the sake of the new setting. It's like that with the birds. Comparing the tropics with our temperate counterparts, we find more shelving and more storage, good enough for temporary winter quarters, but hardly adequate when the demands of nesting set in. So why the negative effects? That's where the environmental arithmetic is instructive. One way of analyzing environmental diversity is to consider the volume of habitat available per acre. Try these for size. An acre of freshly cut lawn has about 11,000 cubic feet of habitat. An acre of hay ready for mowing, about 100,000 cubic feet. But an acre of mature northern hardwoods, like our central New York forests, would approach 4 million cubic feet per acre. There is great significance, it is clear, in the change from beech, birch, and maple, or oak, hickory, and tulip tree, to Kentucky bluegrass. When we look at the tropics, however, we discover a new mind-boggling dimension to the potential diversity. An acre of rainforest may exceed 6 million cubic feet of habitat, even considering the uneven nature of the top layer of those rich forests. That's like adding another story to the ecological house we call the temperate forest. Let's return to my daughter's new dwelling for a minute to see what this means. If she and her housemate were expecting a visit from a family in Canada, they might make do for a short time by having them camp out, so to speak, doubling the use of every room. But if she had an extra story with only two rooms, the melding would be much easier and the visit would be pleasant. If, however, by some strange twist of fate, the upper stories were removed, leaving only a single floor, even with floor-to-ceiling shelving and numerous closets, not only would the visit have to be canceled, but the adequacy of the dwelling itself would be put in question. The girls would have to move out. That's the nature of what's happening to our continental habitats today. I know that many of you are unable to understand why environmentalists are so concerned about a bunch of birds, especially and when national economies seem to be demanding change. Believe me, birds are only a small part of the potential problem. This intermeshing of temperate and tropical ecosystems is so exquisite and complicated that no one has a real handle on it. It may be that no other interchange, except perhaps what's beginning to happen to our oceans, has more power to determine the quality of our future. To ignore it is folly. Don't be foolish. Well, that's all I have for today. This is John Weeks saying, thanks for listening. Tune in next week and keep it natural.